Actual baseball that counts is back tomorrow with the Tokyo series, but Mookie Betts won't be playing. Yes, welcome on in to First Pitch for Monday, March 17th, your source of news, notes, and updates on Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby. Follow me on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. He's Troy Brock, Troy B Baseball on the Twitter machine. You can keep up with every episode of the podcast at firstpitchpodcast.com. It's the first day back from spring break, folks. Okay. Lot to get to today. I want to get to more injuries for the Yankees. I want to get to Joey Gallo kind of hanging it up. I want to get to some of the list of announced opening day starters. But first, Mookie Betts will miss tomorrow and Wednesday's Tokyo series games, Cubs versus Dodgers, with an illness. Apparently, like, they even considered sending him home from Japan. He's lost close to 15 pounds while they've been gone. The team said that had they known, like, he was not feeling well in Cactus League play. Had they known how bad this was, they wouldn't have even brought him to Tokyo. But this is just like, he is fatigued. He is tired. And again, he's lost 15 pounds already. The start of a 162 game season. Plus, we're assuming the Dodgers are going to make the playoffs. So a little bit extra in October. How big of a deal is this for the Dodgers as far as not having Mookie Betts and kind of the approach that they're taking with this of, like, we're just going to just sit him down for a week or two?
Yeah, it can be big. It really depends on how he reacts to the next couple of weeks and how his condition's going to be and once the rest of the regular season begins, because missing these first two games, it's not going to mean much. I mean, it's 2 out of 162. It'll mean a lot as far as some of the ratings, because one of the superstars that are in the game will not be in it, but, you know, there's still 18 other superstars in this series, so
including every major Japanese player but Yu Darvish, right?
Right. It really just depends on if he can recover in time for the rest of the regular season starting, because as it stands right now, they said they do think he is starting to feel a little better. But we'll have to wait and see. He is getting old, and, you know, we've talked about it already this offseason that they do have to worry about injury concerns with their older superstars, including Mookie Betts, who started dealing with injuries last year. And so while this is an illness and not an injury, it could turn into more. We just have to wait and see.
And that's something Dave Roberts actually said. The quote here was, "The thing is, when you lose a lot of weight, when you're dehydrated, that's what opens a person up to soft tissue injuries. We're very mindful of that. So take the next week, call it, to build him back up, his strength, do some baseball activities to get ready for the home opener." They get a traveling, they get to bring people with them, extra players for, you know, like a travel squad for this, given they're so far away, they can't fly a dude in, you know, same day if there's an injury. But since they don't go back into playing until March 27th, like, that's the next game that actually matters. They get back. They have three more spring games against the Angels. Part of me wonders, could you just put Betts on the IL? I don't officially know how all of these roster decisions work. Do they have to have their roster finalized, their opening day roster finalized by tonight? Or is this something where there's a special exemption here and they have until the 27th? Because if they have to have the roster official today, put him on the IL to start the year. You might not have him the first game or two in LA, but it gets you an extra roster spot. I don't think they need it, but just think it's interesting there. Two lefties, they're going to see Shota Imanaga and Justin Steele. So the thought is Miguel Rojas will be the shortstop. And in the exhibitions they played over the weekend, Tommy Edman batted in the two hole where Mookie Betts normally would be. So they left everybody else the same and just swapped Edman into Betts' spot. It's, like you said, I don't think it's a big deal as long as they handle this correctly and as long as they don't rush him back. It's part of the reason I think maybe the IL thing would be helpful. It's like, hey, buddy, you got 2 weeks now. you can't play for 2 weeks. So let's just take our time. Let's get healthy. And then we'll see you back out there so we can get 158 games out of you, right? If you miss 2 games in the regular season or something. A guy who's going to miss some games in the regular season, but not. Let me go back before I segue out of here. Reminder on these games. They are tomorrow morning. Game one is at 6:10 a.m. Eastern on Big Fox, MLB TV, and then the local broadcast for both of these. Game two, I believe it's the same time on Wednesday. So if you're in California, congratulations. If you want to watch your team, you have to be in front of your television at 3:10 a.m., which... Yeah. I understand they're doing this for Japan, but that's just a little bit frustrating. Like that just seems a little bit, I know they want these to be prime time in Japan so that everybody can watch, but I do think the better way to do this would have been to put them on the weekend as like an early afternoon game and make it a prime time game here, a late night game here. I don't know the exact time change, but like, that's awful. 3:10 a.m. to watch your team play sucks. But
oh yeah, I 100% agree. It's crazy.
That's what we're going to do. It's real baseball. We're going to watch it. It matters. Well, it'll probably just be ending by the time we're ready to record this show. So we may be able to talk about it. Who knows? Hey, here's who won the game today. Like, we'll see what happens. Okay. Segueing into another contender in the National League, Spencer Strider of the Atlanta Braves will pitch in a big league game today for the first time in nearly a year. He had elbow surgery. Not a UCL reconstruction, not Tommy John surgery. He had internal brace surgery back in April last year after 2 starts. He's on the mound against the Red Sox today. He's done a couple live BPs in spring. But the timing of this, most guys get 5 to 6 starts in spring before the regular season. If this is his first, he theoretically could have a second start before the team leaves Florida after next Sunday and flies to Arizona for 2 games against the Cubs before they then start the season against the Padres. But if you extend this out, he could be back in mid-April. How big of a deal is that for the Braves to get Strider back and then a couple weeks after that, get Ronald Acuna Jr.?
Oh, it's huge. It's gonna be huge, especially if at least one of those guys can pick up right where they left off. I know Acuna didn't leave off on the highest of foot, but if you look back at his 2023, he put up one of the best seasons anybody's ever seen in the history of baseball. And while I don't expect him to be at that level, even if he was healthy last year and healthy this year, he is still one of the better players in the game, and he's a big part of the Atlanta Braves offense. And then for Spencer Strider, he's one of the best pitchers in the game, and he's a big part of the Atlanta Braves pitching staff, and it's going to be huge having him back with Chris Sale and Spencer Schwellenbach with the step forward he took last year and the rest of that rotation in the daunting National League East.
Yeah, I mean, 4 of the 5 best teams in baseball, I'd argue, are in the National League, and 3 of them are in the East. Some other like injury concerns that they had: Austin Riley got hit by a pitch on the hand on Friday, the same hand that was broken last year by a hit by pitch. He avoided serious injury, was back in the lineup the next day. Jurickson Profar, who had that wrist thing, is supposed to be cleared to play in game action as soon as today, should be fine for opening day. So they've kind of avoided major injury outside of Sean Murphy. But guy who didn't avoid serious injury, once again, Royce Lewis of the Minnesota Twins, was running to first base in the second inning on Sunday, pulled up, lifted from the game, diagnosed with a strained left hamstring, will have an MRI on March 17th. Couple thoughts here. My first one is I traded away Brooks Lee in fantasy like 2 weeks ago, so I kind of hate the timing of this. He's going to be very valuable now, very important for the Twins. But also, like, this is just kind of the kind of thing. Royce Lewis, when he's been healthy, has been close to MVP caliber at times in his career. It's just he's not been healthy that often. His 3 seasons in the majors, he got 12 games in 2022. he got 58 games in 2023, and he got 82 games in 2024. He's had hamstring strains. I believe he tore his ACL out in the outfield, something like that. Like, he's had serious injury. He's had minor injury. But the constant with Royce Lewis is he has not been available. His fun fact here, his 162 game pace for his career is, which is funny, he's only played 152 games. But if you look at Baseball Reference, the 162 game pace is 3.6 WAR with 35 home runs, a 270 batting average, and less than a strikeout a game. Just kind of funny to think, like, he's been absolutely electric. He just hasn't been able to stay on the field.
Yeah, he's another one of those guys that the Minnesota Twins have, like, right alongside Byron Buxton, who can't stay on the field. And, you know, Byron Buxton, I like to bring him up a lot. He's played in 100 or more games twice in his entire career in 10 seasons.
Why do you bring Jimmy Butler? Why do you bring
up? I'm a hater, man. I don't think you want to ask me that. I am a hater, so I'm going to just leave it at that.
In case you can't tell, that's our favorite drop that we have.
I saw you smiling. I knew it was coming. But we kind of talked about it in the First Pitch Discord channel last week that one of our members over there said it, that the Twins needed to change their training staff. And a Twins fan was like, well, they did change their training staff, but they need to do it again because it's not working. It's these like soft tissue injuries. That's not like, you need a better training staff if it's constantly these soft tissue injuries that are keeping guys out of games. Correa, Buxton, Royce Lewis, as you pointed out, he's been in the major leagues 3 seasons and he's played 152 games. And in 2022, when he played 12 games, it's not like he was a September call up. He was called up in May. He had a lot of time, and it's a little too early for me to put him on that same level as Byron Buxton as far as inability to stay on the field, but he's getting pretty close. If he doesn't do it this year, then he's right up there with Byron Buxton as far as I'm done with him. I don't care how good he is when he is on the field. He ain't on the field enough for me to care about him.
Just, you know, two guys that all the talent in the world. And in the case of Buxton, it's probably a little controversial, but it's clear that repeated injuries have taken a little bit of that talent away. He's not the same player that he was earlier in his career. And you worry, you hope the same thing doesn't happen for Royce Lewis. A guy who is the same that he's pretty much been in his entire career, Joey Gallo. He struggled in 2024, to put that mildly, was signed by the Washington Nationals, was playing mostly first base for them. He's been an outfielder as well as a first baseman in his career. 76 games, hit 161 with a 613 OPS. 102 strikeouts in 76 games. For his career, he has 1,292 strikeouts in 939 career games. It's a career 38% strikeout percentage, as compared to the MLB average of like 22.2% over that same span. He signed a minor league deal with the Chicago White Sox this year. He was released a week before spring training ended. The worst team in baseball cut Joey Gallo off a minor league deal a week before spring training ended. So his solution, and this kind of makes sense, he's converting to pitching. Officially, he made the tweets on Sunday. And, you know, this could potentially work. I pulled his max throws in each of the last 5 seasons, and the slowest one was 96.2. The highest was 99.3, and a couple 98s in there. Are you in or out on Joey Gallo trying to become a pitcher?
I think it could work. Yeah, we've always seen his cannon from the outfield. He's always had one of the best arms in the outfield, and you pulled it up and tweeted those max throws, and I think it could work. And apparently he was a two-way player in high school, I saw somewhere.
So. And not only was he a two-way player, there was a lot of doubt from scouts that he would not be able to successfully stick as a position player because of the whiffs. So shout out to the haters. They absolutely got that one right.
Yeah, for sure. Because, yeah, he's now transitioning to pitching, and it's crazy.
His career batting average is 194.
Yeah. Yeah. It's insane, man. He's one of the most, I mean, he's a boomer bust guy through and through, and it's insane. But he's just one of the few that are now recently transitioning. He's the highest profile guy. I mean, because we saw Brett Phillips is now a pitcher after being a fantastic
deal with the Yankees. Yeah. Not a good organization, or not a bad organization to try to make a conversion to pitching.
Yeah. And Tyler Naquin, another organization. He's a fun fact. He went to high school where my wife went to high school. And hey. So he's in a roundabout way, he's one of her favorite baseball players. But yeah, he's with the Guardians again, and he is transitioning to pitching also. And of course, Joey Gallo is the most highest profile of those three, but it's becoming a thing where these position players are starting to move to pitching whenever they're not panning out as position players and hitters.
Fun fact, all three guys have played for the White Sox recently. Naquin played 5 games for the White Sox last year, and Gallo and Phillips have both been in big league camp with the White Sox. So, like, all three guys had White Sox connections. What I'm hearing is that the Chicago White Sox are so bad, they make guys quit being hitters. That's what I'm hearing from this. But
I'm tired, Paul.
Yeah, but yeah, they he asked for his release. And they gave it to him. So presumably he's going to sign with some organization that wants to see if they can make the 6'5 outfielder into a pitcher. And you know what? Yeah, let's go for it. I'm down for it. I want to see what happens. I'm really curious about who's going to do it. Like, who's going to sign him, and is it going to work out? But again, like, we've seen the arm talent is there. It's just a matter of harnessing it. And that's not always necessarily as easy as you would, I guess, believe. A guy that had harnessed his arm talent, but also it came with some injury, Clark Schmidt of the New York Yankees. I really had to shoehorn that in. That was not a good segue. He was scratched from a scheduled start today against the Blue Jays, with soreness in his pitching shoulder. He was supposed to be Sunday's starter. They pushed him to today. They scratched him from today, and he's going to throw a bullpen instead. Supposedly, no tests are scheduled. He's not supposed to have an MRI or anything like that. He's just, quote, he's just not bouncing back as well as he wanted to. With some of the attrition we've had, this is Aaron Boone talking, it's not something we wanted to push. If they lose Clark Schmidt to some sort of, even just not being ready for opening day, which he didn't debut in Grapefruit until March 11th because of a back issue. And so they had that, and then now they have this. He's going to stay back in Florida when the team goes north. The goal is April 3rd, their 6th game of the season, is when he would come back and make his debut. How, if Clark Schmidt can't go on April 3rd, how screwed are the Yankees?
Oh, I mean, they're already screwed if Clark Schmidt can't go on April 3rd. It's their rotation just keeps taking hit after hit, and it's not going to be too much longer. And Marcus Stroman's going to continue moving up that list, because you got to expect Carlos Rodon's going to be hurt. Marcus Stroman's going to be the ace at some point. But Clark Schmidt as the four. I mean, he wasn't projected to do anything but get a four even ERA in 143 innings. But, I mean, the Yankees need all the innings they can get, regardless of what ERA you can give them from a starting pitcher. And they've already said they're not willing to look outside for any additions to their starting rotation. But if he's going to be out for an extended period of time, it might be time to – they're going to have to, because they don't have many options, and their options are now – the options they do have keep dwindling due to injury. And with shoulder soreness, that doesn't sound good for a pitcher. So it doesn't
look
good.
Last I checked, you need your shoulders when you're a pitcher, especially the one attached to your pitching arm. Talking about rotations real quick, let's close out the show with going through some of the announced opening day starters and deciding, was there a better option on this roster or not? So, starting tomorrow, it is Yoshinobu Yamamoto for the Dodgers versus Shota Imanaga for the Cubs. I'm perfectly fine with that pairing. I think that's one of the, given what they're doing, given the fact that they're in Japan, Totally makes sense. Game two, by the way, Justin Steele for the Cubs versus Roky Sasaki. Kind of a bummer that the Cubs couldn't like borrow Yu Darvish for the series or something, just to kind of have four Japanese starters in the two games. But maybe Seiya Suzuki can get like the first pitch of the game so that technically there's a Japanese starter, and then they take him off the mound and just put him back at DH and let Justin Steele come in after that first pitch. I'd have done that, right? Have a gentleman's agreement. We're not going to swing at that first pitch. Let him throw a strike first pitch, and then from there we'll go with it.
Yeah. It's a good matchup. I like it for both of them. I agree that with what they're doing, it needed to be done. You know, the Japanese stars, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Shota Imanaga, and then Roky Sasaki versus noted Japanese superstar from Loosedale, Mississippi, Justin Steele. So I completely agree. Good matchups there.
When you think Japanese pitching, you think Justin Steele. on Thursday the 27th, Brewers versus Yankees, Freddy Peralta making his second consecutive opening day start for the Brewers versus Carlos Rodon making his second career opening day start. Although the first one was with the White Sox in like 2019 or something. So Peralta versus Rodon, were these the best choices on these teams for opening day starters? Because kind of feels like Max Fried probably is a better pitcher than Carlos Rodon, but I guess that Rodon has tenure and that's why they had him go over Fried.
Yeah, I think for the Brewers, Peralta is probably the best option, but I agree. Max Fried probably should have got the opening day nod, but it is probably because of the tenure with the team. I still would have went with Max Fried anyway, just because he's clearly the better pitcher. But otherwise, Rodon's not too far off. He's just a lot more hurt than most.
Okay, here's a fun one with a fun little stat thing for you. It is Orioles at Blue Jays. We don't have we don't have Toronto's official opening day starter yet. It was Jose Berrios last year. But for the Orioles, it's Zach Eflin. This is the second consecutive year he has started on opening day. It was for the Rays last year. He faced the Blue Jays last year on opening day as well. But here's a fun fact. Guess how many different starting pitchers Baltimore's had on opening day since 2016. So counting this year, that's 10 different opening days. Guess how many different opening day starters they've used in those 10 games?
I'm going to say 8.
9.
Oh, I was close.
Corbin Burns. Well, it's Eflin now. Corbin Burns, Kyle Gibson, John Means did 2, but Malone, Cashner, Bundy, Gosman, and Tillman, and I couldn't even tell you who Tillman is. It was his third consecutive. Chris Tillman. Legend Chris Tillman. That's right. Him of the 4.57 ERA. Career ERA. Chris Tillman. Is that Tommy Malone? Yeah, Tommy Malone and Dylan Bundy. Wow. What a list. These are all names I have never clicked on Baseball Reference. They were blue leagues. I've never once pulled up Dylan Bundy's Baseball Reference page. He's out of baseball. Tommy Malone, I believe he's out of baseball. Last pitched in the majors in 23. Andrew Cashner got one of those. Last pitched in the majors in 2019. He's out of baseball. Baltimore down bad, huh? Like, that's wild.
Yeah, their pitching has been bad for a while, and it's still bad this year with Zach Eflin getting the nod on opening day. He was always the 3 starter for the Phillies, and I know last year he got the nod on opening day because of injuries with the Rays, but it's not a good rotation in Baltimore.
A wilder streak than Baltimore's, though. Red Sox at Rangers. Garrett Crochet versus Nathan Eovaldi. Crochet's last opening day start was his first career start last year with the White Sox. But Nathan Eovaldi is going to be the first pitcher to go back-to-back as opening day starter for the Rangers since 2006 to 2009. Kevin Millwood made 4 straight. It's Eovaldi's 5th career opening day start. We've got to be a little disappointed that this wasn't Jacob deGrom versus Garrett Crochet, right?
Oh, 100%. I mean, your chances to see Jacob DeGrom pitch live are limited anyway because of how injured he is. So why not get him on opening day when it's going to be the most eyes on the game throughout the whole season?
I don't think he's ready on the timing, but I wish he was. That had been a great matchup.
Oh yeah, that would have been a fun matchup. That probably would have been one of the best matchups of the day.
Yeah. Phillies at Nationals, Zach Wheeler, second straight year he gets the opening day start. Nationals have not announced anybody. I'm going to guess Mackenzie Gore.
Yeah.
But I don't know who it's going to be. It was Josiah Gray last year. He's out with Tommy John. Guardians at Royals. Guardians have not announced. Royals are sending Cole Reagans for the second consecutive year. Last year, he set a franchise record for strikeouts on opening day. He punched out 9 Twins on opening day. Do you think he gets more or less strikeouts against the Guardians this year?
Ooh, I think he gets less. The Guardians don't strike out much, especially with Stephen Kwan at the top of their lineup. Dude doesn't strike out much at all. So I think he'll get 7 or 8.
Breaking news.
Uh-oh.
I'm glad I had my phone where I could see it. Breaking news, Atlanta starter for opening day, to no one's surprise, Chris Sale.
Huh,
the text, literally the text from somebody down in Northport just came to my phone right here. It was just said by manager Brian Snitker in a media availability as of time of recording. Like, there you go. All right. Mets at Astros, Clay Holmes versus Framber Valdez. Clay Holmes has made 4 career starts in the majors, right? His first start since 2018 is as the starter on opening day versus Framber Valdez, who is the 5th Astros pitcher to throw 4 consecutive opening days. Am I wrong to think about this is going to be, this one's going to be fun as hell?
Yeah, this one's going to be fun. I mean, you've got Framber Valdez, who flirted with multiple no-hitters last year, and then Clay Holmes making his first start since 2019 and potentially being the best pitcher on the New York Mets pitching staff. It's with what he's done this spring and what the rest of their pitchers are not capable of. So it is going to be a fun matchup, and that's definitely going to be one to watch.
Yep. All right, Angels at White Sox, Yusei Kikuchi versus Sean Burke. There are a lot of people on the internet who did not know who Sean Burke was, so that's fun. Kikuchi, very first opening day start. Sean Burke's made a grand total of 3 Major League Baseball starts in his career, so probably the least experience you'll have in any of these. Okay, it doesn't matter who the White Sox send out there. They could send out Pedro Martinez. They're still going to lose 120 games.
Yep.
Pirates at Marlins. Paul Skeens versus Sandy Alcantara. That's a fun matchup. I didn't see that when I was going through this list earlier. That's a hell of a fun matchup.
Yeah, that's a good matchup. I do love the tweets, however, where the Pirates manager pulled Paul Skeens in and was like, "Hey man, we're gonna let you know that you're gonna be starting on opening day." And somebody tweeted, "That's like JJ Redick sitting LeBron James down, letting him know he's gonna be in the starting lineup."
Who else was it gonna be? Mitch Keller is going to get that spot over you. Like, what's happening right here? Twins at Cardinals, Pablo Lopez versus Sonny Gray. Pablo Lopez, 3rd consecutive opening day start for the Twins. If they win, it'll be their, they would win their 3rd straight opening day game for the first time since 2001 through 2004. Sonny Gray, 4th career opening day start. First, obviously, with St. Louis, it was Maz Mikolas last year. And he was the runner-up for the AL Cy Young in 23 with the Twins. So there's some fun little there's a fun little thing here for that, you know, fun little backstory kind of thing here.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun matchup. And it seems like if Pablo Lopez has won both of his opening day starts with the Twins, he might be their Spice LaRange. So, you know, he might be the secret to their success, at least on opening day.
Game I missed here. Logan Webb versus Hunter Green, Giants at Reds. Logan Webb, 4th consecutive opening day start for the Giants. He struck out 12 batters in 2023 against the Yankees. Franchise record, most strikeouts in an opening day game. Hunter Green, 3 runs on 5 hits with 3 walks and 3 1/3 against the Pirates in 2023, but struck out 8 in that game. So you see why he's now doing this. Frankie Montas was the guy last year. Now that Montas is gone and he's on New York's injured list, the Mets injured list, they put Hunter Green back in that spot. That'll be that's fine, but I'm probably not watching that over Skeens Alcantara.
Oh, yeah, not at all. I mean, Logan Webb is one of the most underrated pitchers in the game. He's right up there with Aaron Nola as far as being one of the most underrated in the game. And then, of course, Hunter Green deserves better. It's going to be a fun matchup, but I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah. A couple of these to close out that day. Tigers at Dodgers. Tarik Skubal, that makes sense. Rainy Day, Cy Young winner. Dodgers, it's their third game of the season, so they don't technically have an opening day starter here. Cubs at Diamondbacks. Cubs have... it'll be their third game. Diamondbacks, I'm curious, Zach Gallen or Corbin Burns? Who gets the nod there? The existing ace or the new imported free agent ace? A's versus A's at Mariners. No idea who the A's are going to have. I assume Luis Severino. That would make sense. I just don't know if it'll be him. Logan Gilbert is announced for the Mariners.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a surprisingly fun matchup with what the A's have done this offseason. But I also agree it's probably going to be Luis Severino. But Logan Gilbert's a fun watch regardless. That whole Mariners pitching staff is a fun watch.
Here we go. Last matchup, Rockies at Rays on Friday. I think it's the only opening day game that starts on that's on Friday, not on Thursday. Kyle Freeland versus Shane McClanahan. McClanahan's first appearance in a major league game since August of 2023 after Tommy John surgery. Kyle Freeland, first pitcher in Rockies history to make four opening day starts. Hopefully it's better. His last two, he's given up a combined 15 runs in the last two opening day starts. 5 versus the Dodgers in 22. 10 versus the Diamondbacks last year.
Yeah, it's not good. Is that going to be in Colorado or Tampa? Guess not Tampa.
Yeah, well, it's going to be in the Yankees minor league park. Yeah. Tampa. It's a home game for Tampa, so it'll be outside.
That'll be a
best matchup, and that's definitely Skeens versus Alcantara. I didn't realize they were matching up against one another. I didn't realize that's who was playing. I love that. That's great. Yeah, that's must watch TV.
Hopefully that one's on national TV somewhere, so a lot of eyes can get on that and see how great Paul Skeens is, because the Pirates aren't going to be on national TV much this year, but if they can be for opening day, that'll be good.
That'll be tons of fun. This has been First Pitch for Monday, March 17th. You're listening on audio. Do us a favor. Leave us a 5-star review. If you're on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. Hit the notification bell. Also, leave us a 5-star review. That'd be super awesome. Until next time, this has been First Pitch.